Thank you very much, Mataji, Palasura Mataji, Dhanva Pram, all Vaishya Srila Prabhupada, all Vaishya Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can Jare Chaitanya Charitamrita, Matya Leela, chapter 22, verse number 164 onwards. Thank you, Mataji, very much. Hare Krishna, please take over the call.
Kalasura Mataji, by any chance, were you able to go live?
No, sorry, not today.
Okay, we'll ask Vinaya Mataji to do it, no problem. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Chananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, Text 164 through 169, the conclusion of the chapter. Entitled, The Process of Devotional Service. Text 164. Ei moto kore jeva raganuga bhakti Krishnero charone taro upojoyo priti. Translation, if one engages in spontaneous loving service to the Lord, his affection for the lotus feet of Krishna gradually increases. Text 165. In the seed of affection there is attachment which goes by two names, Rati and Bhava. The Supreme Personality of Godhead comes under the control of such attachment. Text 166. That by which one can attain loving service to the Lord, I have described in detail as the execution of devotional service, called as Abhideya. Text 167. My dear Sanatan, I have briefly described the process of devotional service in practice, which is the means for obtaining love of Krishna. It cannot be described broadly. Text 168, whoever hears this description of the process of devotional service, of the process of practical devotional service, very soon attains shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna in love and affection. Text 169, praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 22nd chapter, describing the execution of devotional service. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Vishnu Puraya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namacharya Padaya Natai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakatha Dhamudaya Nagara Gramatharine Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshakarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shravasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So now today we are concluding this very beautiful chapter in the process of devotional service. This chapter, we feel, at least when I read it for the first time, I was really thinking that what is our conception of brief and what is our conception of, my conception of brief and elaborate completely changed when I read this last part. You know, in fact, throughout the chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatan Goswami that I'm just going to give you in brief about devotional service. I'll just touch upon the main points of devotional service. But that in itself is seeming that it is, you know, 169 verses of just that, of just touching upon only the highlights. Then our description of, you know, elaborate and brief, you know, changes, you know, completely changes. When we say that we want to talk something in just highlights and a few, you know, important points, we literally mean, you know, things that can be counted on our fingers, you know, couple of points. But for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is describing in brief, when he is saying that this is a brief description of the practical aspect of devotional service, Mahaprabhu is making this comment that it is actually not possible to describe the devotional service in a broad way. It's not possible to do that because it's going to be unlimited. Why it's not possible? Because it is unlimited. So the only thing that is possible is to give certain highlights. And this is the description of being highlights. These are highlights of devotional service. So we need to understand that, you know, from the practical point of view, from our mundane sense, you know, it doesn't really make sense that how can this elaborate process be described and be called as something to be, you know, very brief or just highlights. It's impossible for us to comprehend that. But we do understand it because of the nature with which Mahaprabhu describes this. He describes devotional service to be an ocean of unlimited joy and unlimited bliss. So just by that, it is, you know, imperative for us to understand that an ocean of joy, an ocean of bliss, cannot be described in a broad sense because it is never-ending. There is no end to it. It is navaravarasa. There is, you know, newer and newer rasas, mellows, divine mellows being experienced even by the moment. And that brings us to understand that how ananta shesha, it is said, ananta means unlimited. We cannot count the hoods, the number of hoods that ananta shesha has. That many hoods he has, that his hoods are uncountable, innumerable hoods. And with his innumerable hoods, ananta shesha has been singing the innumerable glories of Krishna. Until today, he has not been able to complete. And that is the nature of Krishna's glories. That no one can say, okay, today we wrote this book, the Srimad Bhagavatam is there, so we know that this is the beginning and the end of Krishna's glories. No. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also just still, you know, the top of the cream that has been just given to us in a condensed version of what the highlights of not only devotional highlights, but the life of those practitioners who have perfected their lives by following the tenets of devotional service is what is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The life of Krishna himself is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that too, not all the pastimes in detail have been given in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not possible. Therefore, there are so many additional books which describe the pastimes of Krishna in much more detail, in much more intricate manner. Because it is just not possible to do it all in one book. And even a combination of many books is not possible to, you know, glorify Krishna. It's just not possible. So that is the glories of Krishna. That is how glorious Krishna is. That is how unlimited his pastimes are. That we cannot even comprehend to understand that, you know, okay, this is, if we know this much, then we have known Krishna in full. It's impossible to say that. Because Krishna keeps revealing himself based on the kind of surrender we have towards him. You know, when I was reading these last few verses, the glory of devotional service. You know, this very famous pastime appears in Nectar of Devotion in Upadeshamrita. talking about Manas Puja. There's this old Brahmana, the picture is there in Upadeshamrita and the Nectar of Devotion. There was this old Brahmana Vaishnava who had really, he was penniless, he was very poor. But he once desired to offer sweet rice to Krishna. So in his mind, he started getting all the ingredients, milk, sugar, rice, little ghee. He started collecting all those ingredients. He lit the fire, and then he took a big vessel, and then he poured the milk in. When the milk came to one boil, then he poured the rice, which is mixed with ghee, and he poured that into the milk. The milk was boiling with the rice and the ghee, and a beautiful aroma was coming. And this Vaishnava was, you know, saying, oh, now this sweet rice is getting done. And then when it was nice and thick, he added the sugar, and then he took it out from the flame, and then he poured it out into Krishna's offering bowl. And then he said, oh, the sweet rice is so hot. Let me try and see if it is okay. It is cold enough for Krishna to eat, because I don't want Krishna to burn his tongue. You know, if the sweet rice is too hot, it's very difficult to eat like that. So then the Brahmana, with his eyes closed in meditation, this entire process was with his eyes closed in meditation. And he was just doing this Manas Puja. And with the finger of his mind, he actually touched the sweet rice. He inserted his finger into the sweet rice to check whether it was, you know, cool enough. But he literally burnt his finger. He actually burnt his finger. But that is the potency of the power and the intensity with which he was rendering Manas Puja. It was as good as real. You know, it was a reality. He literally burnt his finger. But it was all of his imagination. In his mind, he was offering all of the services to Krishna. So we can understand that Krishna, he is actually not really seeing how much we are, you know, elaborate puja we are doing, or, you know, but then if our mind is not fixed in Krishna's lotus feet, and if it is wandering around here and there, then that kind of service will take us a lot of time to perfect. And for it to even reach Krishna, for us to be able to have a loving reciprocation with Krishna, will take some time. But whenever we do some service, whether it be, you know, like up on the altar doing aarti to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or cleaning the temple floor, either of those services, if we do it with a mood that Krishna is seeing the desire, the intent with which I am doing this service. Oh Krishna, I am doing this service to please you. So please accept it. If that is the mood with which we are rendering our devotional service, then whatever service we may be rendering, that service will touch the heart of Krishna and we will get the reciprocation of his mercy. There is no doubt about it. But if we are, you know, if we think that Manas Puja, okay, you know, I have the facility to do a lot of elaborate puja, but just because I'm lazy, that's why I choose to do Manas Puja, then, you know, who are we going to cheat? We cannot cheat Krishna. Well, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that of all cheats, I am the supreme cheater. That if anyone wants to cheat Krishna, then Krishna, the way he will cheat us, we will not even realize it. And it will hit us so hard that it will come from a place that we never ever expected. So we cannot cheat Krishna. But if we are in such a situation that we are not able to perform actual devotional service, if we are actually in that situation, then we can seek shelter of rendering Manas Puja. And with all sincerity, with all of our love, we can render the service. So be it Manas Puja, be it actual devotional service, whatever we may be doing, what Krishna is really seeing is the sincerity and the dedication with which we are rendering that particular service. That is crux. That is the bottom line. That is the most important. That we see with how a heart full of love
Hare Krishna Mataji, your voice is breaking.
Is this better?
No, Mataji.
No? Is this much better? Is this okay? Is this better?
Yes, 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 Mataji. Yes.
Okay. I wonder what happens. So that is what is the most important thing, the consciousness, the mood with which we are rendering our devotional service. We have to be very, very cautious of this aspect of devotional service. To keep in mind that how important it is to really, you know, samay manah Krishna padaravindayor, that how important it is to redirect and bring back our mind again and again and again to the lotus feet of Krishna. We should not think, oh well, in the morning today I did my deity service, I did my 16 rounds of japa, I'm done for the day. If that is the mood with which we are doing our devotional service, then, you know, then that is the mood with which Krishna will also reciprocate in the same way. But rather, if we can, you know, every action, every thought of ours, if during the entire day, if we can relate it back to Krishna, if we can do every activity of ours that we are doing, if we are doing it as an offering to Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, then we are really living, we are truly living our life. That is the most important thing. Like last time we were discussing that a genuine disciple, a proper disciple, a first-class disciple, knows the heart of the spiritual master and they will act accordingly. Similarly, a first-class devotee of Krishna, they know the heart and the desire of Krishna and they mold their life in such a way that it is their every breath is meant for the service of Krishna. You know, there's this, all of us know about this very beautiful story about two people who were serving, two disciples who were serving the lotus feet of spiritual master. The spiritual master was taking rest and there were two disciples who were fighting amongst each other that who is going to do Pada Seva to the spiritual master. So the spiritual master was, oh, now I have to take rest. These two guys are fighting. He said, okay, I have two legs. You massage my right leg and you can massage my left leg. Problem solved. So then the disciples, both of them were very happy. Okay, spiritual master gave me right leg. This disciple was very happy. Spiritual master gave me left leg. And they sat facing each other and they were massaging the lotus feet of the spiritual master, one on each leg. And then suddenly, one of the boys realized that he was massaging the right leg, and suddenly he saw that there was a mosquito sitting on the left leg of the spiritual master. But he saw that mosquito and he still didn't move it away. And this other boy who was massaging the left foot, he didn't notice the mosquito was there on the left feet of the guru. So the mosquito was biting, biting and sucking the blood of the spiritual master. And then suddenly this, you know, this other boy who was massaging the left leg, he realized, oh, on this leg of my guru, there is this mosquito, and you saw it and you didn't tell me. And then he somehow drove the mosquito away, and then he said, see now what I will do to you. So he came and he beat the right foot of the spiritual master. He just pinched the right foot of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master was like, ah. And then this boy who was doing the right foot, he said, how dare you are, you know, pinching my spiritual master's right foot. Now see what I will do. And then he pinched the left foot of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master was in pain. But this is a pastime told by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That what is the purpose of our rendering devotional service? Are we rendering devotional service so that we can be higher, we can show to others that I am higher than you? Or that I am doing better service than you? And if you are doing that service, I will make sure that you will not do proper service. Is that the way we are rendering service? Or is it the way that, you know, let us do collective service for the pleasure of the spiritual master? That should be the mood with which we are serving. So whose body is ultimately getting destroyed by this kind of, you know, in this example that we gave, the story that we said, whose body are we hurting? We are not hurting each other, but we are ultimately hurting the body of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is getting hurt by this kind of action, this childish, immature action of ours. The spiritual master is getting hurt. And we need to realize that. We need to realize our foolishness when, if we are trying to, you know, find fault with another devotee. If we are trying to make a devotee look low in their service. Are we really doing that just to, you know, is that activity going to be pleasing to Guru and Krishna? Definitely not. It is a horrible way. If we are trying to put down another person, it is the most degraded way of, you know, trying to, you know, attract the mercy of Krishna. It is the most degraded way. And Krishna will not be able to give his mercy to such, you know, practitioners. He will not be able to give. So we must be very, very careful that how are we not only interacting with Krishna, but how are we interacting with each other? Treating everyone with love and respect. Giving all respect to others and expecting none in return. Only then we can really chant the holy names continuously. This is Mahaprabhu's basic teachings. This is his teaching, the Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Amanina, having no expectation at all for receiving, forget love, respect, anything. We don't expect anything. But let us give everything else to others. That is where we can really please Krishna. And we will be able to chant the holy names in that condition only. When we are genuinely trying to develop this kind of attitude, only then we can chant the holy names without stopping. So these are the practical aspects of devotional service that Lord Chaitanya has been describing in this entire chapter. And trying to understand, you know, that how important it is to follow the rules and regulations, and at the same time trying to cultivate a loving relationship with Krishna, with the spiritual master, with the devotees. It starts by developing, you know, loving relationship to Krishna doesn't come just automatically. How do we start, you know, rekindling our lost relationship with Krishna? We start it by awakening our lost relationship with devotees. Trying to develop loving relationship with devotees. Trying to develop loving relationship with the Guru. Then it will become easy to develop loving relationship with Krishna. Right now, we can't even imagine, at least I can't imagine, to develop loving relationship with Krishna because I know what condition I am in. But I have some hope that I can try to develop loving relationship with at least the Vaishnavas. That somehow by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, if I can, you know, have good relationship with devotees, then Krishna, being pleased with that effort, he will give me some kind of an outlet where I can develop. I have some hope of developing loving relationship with Krishna. So that is the beauty of devotional service. It starts with basics and following of the rules and regulations, following the 9 processes of devotional service, starting with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. All of this is extremely important. Yes, in this chapter we did learn about bhakti, of spontaneous love towards Krishna, and that is the ultimate goal, no doubt about it. But the way that we can reach that ultimate goal, that has to come. It has to come by the mercy of Krishna. When Krishna will be pleased by the regulated devotional service that we are rendering to him, he will reward us by giving us spontaneous, unalloyed, uninterrupted love towards him. That is the secret of Raganuga Bhakti. So with this, we will end here. If there's any questions, comments or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for your very enlightening class today. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in future. If anybody has any question, please go ahead. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Komodiki Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Such a beautiful class. Mataji, I have a question. This is
yes, Sukheshwari, Mataji, yes.
Mataji, so you had mentioned about in the beginning that, we cannot, we should, I'm not too sure what exactly, I can't remember the exact word, but what I understood is Manasa Puja is when we really cannot offer directly to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that, I had the question. So sometimes, yeah. Like if I have a service in the temple or if I have a lot of prasadam already that I cooked in the morning and all of us... Hare Krishna.
Yes. Please continue. All of us.
So all of us would already have so much prasadam left in the family, so we don't need more prasadam cooked. So mm-hmm. In that sense, if I just make one item for Krishna and I think about offering like 10 in 5-6 items in my mind. Mm-hmm. So, or if I have come back from the temple and, all day we were in the temple, I would just offer in my mind. So, I was just wondering that, of course, my Manasa Puja is a very low level, but is that okay? Or should I cook for Krishna? Because sometimes I get worried if I cook for Krishna separately, when we have a lot of prasadam left, then the prasadam will be left over. I have to carry it over. And then I have to save it. And, rather than that, I have been preferring doing Manas Puja. So is that, it's for convenience that I'm doing Manas Puja, and I understand that, but whether it's okay or not.
Yes. Actually, very, very nice and practical question. Thank you so much for that. There's two aspects to this. The first aspect that you mentioned is that if you're whole day at the temple and then you come home, firstly, if you're whole day at the temple and you've been doing some service at the temple or you've been, attending a particular festival, doing whatever at the temple, then it is said, Jananivas Prabhu said this, that the temple deities are like our king and queen. So we are like the subjects of the king and queen. So we have to give the first priority to go and serve the deities at the temple. And when we are whole day at the temple, and when we are coming back in the evening or in the afternoon like that, then it is said that, Jananivas Prabhu said, that those devotees who are in the temple engaged in service, the deities, the king and queen of the temple, they are so kind that they don't eat alone. When they eat their offerings, they actually invite our home deities to the temple and they eat together the bhoga offerings that are offered in the temple. So that's one thing. So, because, you know, this question was asked to Jananivas Prabhu, that especially, you know, like if there's any festival, when we are whole day, you know, we may be cooking at the temple for the deities, and, you know, festival day, we get really, really tired. There's a lot of services in the temple that we are doing for the whole day. So when we come home, we get very tired. And to again cook an offering for the deities, it gets too much because we already had our prasadam, or we bring back so much prasadam. So what to do in that condition? So Jananivas Prabhu gave this as the first thing, that you don't have to really cook for the deities because you were really engaged in devotional service at the temple and your deities were fed by the king and queen of the temple. They were invited there. Second aspect is that what I generally do, what Jananivas Prabhu told, that it was perfectly fine to do that, is that, like, say, for example, on a festival day like Janmashtami, especially, you know, after coming to the center here, what happens is that we are whole day, you know, starting from dressing the deities, then cooking the feast, all of that, you know, entire day is gone. And Janmashtami day, we are not even able to give a decent offering to our home deities. That has been happening. But I just give some fruits and milk sweets. Sweets I make, you know, like for the whole week. Some, you know, sandesh or rasgullas, you know, milk sweets, different kinds of sweets. I always have that in stock. So those sweets I offer and some fruits. So those two things I offer. I don't necessarily cook because I don't have time, because I have to go back again to the temple for, you know, the evening celebrations are like that. So I just offer some fruits and milk sweets to the deities. And the rest of it you can do Manas Puja. No problem with that at all. So this is not... it's not considered to be lazy, or it's not considered to be a convenience, because it is proper when you are... But at the same time, if you just attend Mangalarti and you're coming back, then you have the whole day to do. But you know, if our body gets really, really tired after doing whole day of service at the temple, and when we come home, we are fatigued, again to cook a small offering and then doing... It takes a lot of effort, you know, lot of effort. So it's okay to offer fruits and sweets that particular day, and doing an extra offering to Krishna the next day. That's perfectly fine. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Wow. Yeah, thank you, Mataji. I love the point that, you know, the temple deities invite our home deities there.
Yeah.
I think
yes,
they do. Yeah, I always feel like, you know, I didn't offer anything to them and they must be hungry. So I try to you know, make something very little so that I can really consume it, you know. But it doesn't happen all the time. So I get, you know, I feel like, oh, they're just sleeping without eating anything much. And then I offer an opulent prasadam in my mind.
No, but when you are leaving for the temple, you can also tell your deities that I'm going there, you come with me. You know, and you eat the offerings there with the king and queen. You also tell your deities. So they will also know that they have your permission, because Jananivas Prabhu says that the home deities, they are like, they take on the mood of children of the family. So, you know, the king and queen can invite, but if the deities don't have the permission of the parents, they might not want to leave, you know. So just tell the deities in your home that you are going for this service and they should please go to the king and queen and eat along with them. And then when they come back, when you come back in the evening, that you'll give them fruits and you'll give them offerings again the next day, like that. So they know, you know, that's the way to develop the personal relationship with the deities.
Okay, yeah, yeah. But I'm usually not in the service of cooking, Mataji. I might be deity dressing or taking care of the kids. So any service in the temple is okay, right? I mean,
absolutely. Any service in the temple is perfectly fine. Even if you are washing the pots all day or, you know, if you're washing the toilets all day at the temple.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. Such a wonderful class. Thank you so much. And of course, wonderful answer for Krishna, Mataji. Just to add on, Mataji, like, I also heard that, you know, yes, the home deities, like you said, you have previously also mentioned that whenever we go, you know, we can always ask that please, you know, mentally join us because we'll not be here. Because sometimes we go for a day out, you know, out of town for a day and night also, you know, deities are all alone. And then you said you can offer some dry fruits, some whole fruits like apple or banana. You can always, and then you can always say that kitchen is open and physically you stay back and you can. And Radharani can serve Krishna. And while mentally, you can say that mentally, please join us where I'm going, right? And always take a picture. And also, like, is it okay? Because I heard from somebody that even the rice, small quantity of rice with little bit of ghee itself is a full meal. So even if, you know, the fridge is full of prasadam and we don't want to make, then we can just make, you know, maybe a quarter cup of rice and a little bit of ghee, and that can always be consumed. So is that understanding right, Mataji?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And when we leave for a day or two, we can always, you know, also keep some dry fruits along with whole fruits. We can do that. And one thing that Sri Japataka Maharaj had told me is that, you know, take a picture also and carry that with you. So even when you go, even when we go out, we at least offer, I mean, we at least, you know, are taking some kind of fruit, some things that we take, right? We buy and we eat. So we can offer that to the picture of the deity, of our deities, and we can have that. So that way also our Manas Puja and our Puja is going on, you know. So if we can take the picture of our altar with us, that is also recommended. And yeah, offering of whole fruits and offering of, you know, dry fruits. You know, you can keep like a big bowl of dry fruits with some water, cover it and keep it. Yeah, that is also definitely allowed.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Wonderful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. And very beautiful question, Mataji, that Mataji asked. I don't know her name. And so wonderful answer, Mataji. Thank you so much for beautiful class, Mataji.
Thank you, Vinaya. Thank you very much. The Mataji who asked that question was Sukeshwari Mataji.
Oh, thanks, Sukeshwari Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji. I am Arundhati. Hare Krishna. Mataji, I have a question, Mataji. Very beautiful class. I was just, I had this doubt since long back, like how I can do, like especially when we are out of altar and we don't have any help at home to offer, or if there is no one to offer food to deities, I was just thinking what we can do at that time. In that way, is Manas Puja okay, Mataji? And
yes.
Can we feel satisfied by that? Because yes. We always feel guilty, oh, we did not offer anything to Krishna.
Yes.
No,
yes.
So is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. Because when we are off the altar, and if we don't have anyone to do any kind of offering, yes, that is the perfect time to offer Manas Puja. That is perfectly fine to offer Manas Puja. And, even all aartis and everything can be done by Manas Puja, because we cannot touch the altar nor the paraphernalia of the deities. So, but if our Prabhus have time, then at least they can offer, maybe when they come back from office or when our children come back from school, maybe if we can, if they are elder enough, if they are big enough, our children, then, they can just take one fruit and just put it in Krishna's plate. You cannot touch, you cannot even cut the fruit, but the children only can do that, or they can just offer a whole banana to Krishna or a whole apple, if they cannot cut, and just, light one agarbatti and do a small aarti to the deities. That is also perfectly fine. But if that is also not possible, then, you can definitely do it by Manas Puja. No problem at all.
Yes. Okay, and then we can ask forgiveness from Krishna, and then we can offer Manas Puja. We can do like can we wash the fruit and give to them to offer it to Krishna? Is it okay? Or they should only wash?
They should only wash. Yeah, they should only wash. Even if you have washed, they should wash it again. But anything that you have touched cannot go to the altar.
Okay, Mataji, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavatam. Thank you, Mataji, for another wonderful session, and thanks to all the devotees for the beautiful questions. Thank you, Mataji, for the very wonderful answers. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I have another question.
Yes, please.
Mataji, I was just thinking that there are situations where somebody, may not be here, but somebody who are close to you in your family might have passed away. So in that situation, they usually say for 10 days we're not supposed to touch the deities or do any service. Is that something Shri Prabhupada has mentioned during that time we shouldn't do any deity worship? Or, what are the standards in that situation?
The thing, I'll just repeat what Srinivas Prabhu has said in this regard. He has said that, yes, if anyone passes away in the family, and if we are initiated devotees, then we do not, then it is not necessary for us to follow the karma kanda with shaucha. We don't have to follow that 11 days or 13 days. We don't have to. It's not necessary to. But, say for example, if we are in with the family, like if we are in India, and if we have to go to the family, and if we have to, take part in those things, then yes, in terms of society and everything, then it is good if we can follow those practices. But yes, it is 11 days that it is considered to be inauspicious to do anything. And sometimes devotees also, although it is not necessary, but if it is a very close relative or things like that, then, devotees do this, that
they do it as a matter of etiquette, you know, that not going to the temple for 11 days, not doing any deity service. But deity service at home should not be stopped.
Or not even for a day.
Not even for a day. Should not be stopped. Okay. It should not be stopped. And even service to the temple, service going to the temple or service at the temple, depending on whether, you know, like if we are in India, I'm talking about just, you know, like place specific right now. You know, every situation is different based on time, place and circumstances. So I'm talking basically based on the place that we are in right now over here. In North America, we are here. Our families are back in India. So if there is a death in the family back in India, then it is not necessary for us to stop going to the temple for 11 days or doing any deity service at the temple also for 11 days. It's not necessary for us to stop it. But if we feel that, yeah, no, let me do it, there's nothing wrong if you do it or don't do it. It's not really an obligation that, no, you should or you should not. No, nothing like that. Especially only if you are, this comes only if you are initiated. Because you see, the reason given is that as soon as you're initiated, your gotra has changed. You have now become an achyuta gotra. So when we are Achyuta Gotra, it's not we belong to the family of Krishna. So it's not necessary. Again, I'm not saying that it is, you know, please don't see it in another light where we are being insensitive or anything like that. But the thing is that it's not necessary to have the Ashaucha, you know, Palan to be done. It's not necessary. But if we want to, yes, there's no rule that we should not. No, there's no rule like that. If you want to, we can follow it for 11 days.
So if somebody is not initiated yet, Mataji, for them?
For them, it's better to follow.
They have to follow. Oh, okay.
Yes, yes. Like, I know recently in our Houston family, we had one devotee who lost her father back in India. She's a Brahmana. But she never stopped any of her services. Because she, you know, she came to know of this principle also, and there is no need, you see. It's just that there is no need. But what happens in India, again, I'm just getting very specific about the places. You see, what happens in India is that we have many relatives there who are probably are not devotees. And if they see that, you know, oh, during these 11 days also, we've not stopped doing any, you know, or going to the temple or anything like that, then they will criticize that. So if that is the situation, just for the sake of the norms of the society, then we can take it up to follow that for 11 days. You see that difference? But
yes.
Otherwise, it's not a necessity.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it, Mataji. Yeah. It's very nice to know that, you know, that, I mean, I get the point that we are Achyuta Gotra, and then so even, yeah, even Vedically, we are not connected to that soul to be contaminated in one sense.
Exactly.
even though bodily we are connected.
Yeah, that's the point, that, you know, we are in family lineage. Our lineage is changing. As soon as we take initiation, our family lineage has changed, you know. So that is why this is the rule given for, you know, initiated devotees. That if we want, we can follow. There's nothing wrong if we follow. You know, that it's not an offense or anything. Like, it's okay if you are following. And even if you're not following, it's perfectly fine if you're not following also. Because actually you're not contaminated, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you really have to go and stay in the family.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you have to go and stay in the same house where, you know, the death has taken place. If you're going there and if you have to participate in everything over there, in the rituals over there, then yes, you should. Even if you're initiated, you should follow those things. But if you're far away and something has happened back home over there, it's okay. If you're not doing it, it's perfectly fine too.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji. Very helpful.
Thank you.
Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai Mataji. Can you explain what is Achyuta? You explain Gotra?
Gotra is like
Achyuta. Gotra, yes. I know. But Achyuta Gotra, please forgive me.
Okay, Achyuta Gotra means, like, all of us have different Gotras, right? Some of us are Shandilya Gotra, then there's the Vashishta Gotra, you know, all of those different Gotras which come down from the sages. And these are all different sages and rishis that we all get our family lineage from. So, but when we take initiation, when we receive initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, we become the Gotra of Krishna. And one of the names of Krishna is Achyuta. Achyuta means one who is infallible, the infallible one, the unconquerable one. That's what Achyuta means. So Achyuta Gotra means Krishna's Gotra. It is one of the names of Krishna. So that is why we are called as Achyuta Gotras, because this is the family lineage of Krishna, who is Achyuta.
Yes, Mataji. If you have time, sing whatever you want to sing, Mataji. Then with Pranam, Shri Prabhupada, Shri Gurudev Ki Jai. Please forgive me.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Mataji. I have a question. Mataji, you know, my grandma chants every day 2 rounds. So her relatives have passed. She need to be out of altar for 13 days. She called up me and she asked, can I do my chanting, Ma? She asked me. And then I said, I never stop my chanting, Krishna, because I eat every day, so I have to chant every day. That's the answer I gave her, Mataji. Can she chant? Is chanting?
Yes. Chanting has to come anyway. You see, even when there is a death in the family, if you see that actually the family gets together and recites Bhagavad Gita, you know, especially second chapter, they recite that as a ritual. You know, normal, I'm not talking about devotees, but regular families, whenever there is a death in the family, they actually sit and recite the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita every day in the evening, you know, like a Shanti Path, it is called. So reading of the Bhagavad Gita, chanting the holy names, they should never give that up, whatever situation it is. And especially when there's death in the family, they should chant more, you know, for the satisfaction of the departed soul, for the proper destination of the departed soul, they should chant. So you gave the right answer, perfect answer.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Any more questions? Okay, if there's no more questions, I'll... So Mataji, what should I sing for you?
Whatever you want to sing, Mataji.
Okay, I will sing my favorite Gopi Gita then. Pranata Dehino Papakarshanam Trinacharanukam Triniketanam Panipanarpitam Te Padambujam Vinu kuche shuna krundhire chayam Madhuraya Gira Valgu Vakyaya Buddha Manognaya Pushkare Kshana Vidhi Kare Ma Yati Adharasi Dhuna Yayasana. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Gopi Gita ki jai. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you very much. For the nice answers to all the questions, and also the Gopi Gita, one, two verses. Thank you very much for enlightenment.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Thank you.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.